Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. And we'll get into some of this DC corruption, mad about the Trump appointments talk, some emails and stuff this hour. The Haitians are apparently fleeing Ohio. Maybe they're taking your dog with them. All that and more coming up this hour. But we need to first do what we always do. Every single Monday at this time, we do Medal of Honor Monday. We take a Medal of Honor citation and we read it. We remember the men. We remember their deeds. And we hold these stories up in front of the next generation. Because children need to be taught what you should be. If you don't guide them and say, look, that's the kind of man you want to be, and they'll flutter in the wind and go who knows where. Speaking of children, my oldest son, James, just got to the studio, and that's a special privilege to me. He's supposed to be doing homework, of course, but he's sitting there stuffing his face with the snacks we have in the office, as per usual. Anyway, let's do Medal of Honor Monday. Remember, you can email us suggestions on top of love, hate, death threats, and everything else. You can email suggestions into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, as a recovering Army recruiter in North Idaho about 15 years ago, we found out we had two Medal of Honor recipients living in our AOR. One was Lieutenant Tommy Norris of the UDT man who was involved in the rescue of a downed Air Force Lieutenant Colonel in Vietnam, 1972, from which the movie Bat 22 was based. The other was Lieutenant Vernon Baker, a black soldier fighting in World War II Germany. You should say, I'm not about to read Tommy Norris's story, but we've done that one before, Chris, haven't we? I know we have. But we've done the Tommy Norris story. Tommy Norris was a Navy SEAL, and it's an amazing story. I know they made a movie about it. I actually never saw the movie. Don't scream at me. I never saw the movie, but I know the story well. That's a good read with your sons and daughters, if you're interested in a good Medal of Honor citation. The Tommy Norris one is really, really good. He's sailing up a river by himself. Well, he had a little Vietnam helper, but sailing up a river by himself, undercover, in disguise, to rescue a downed pilot. It's a really, really cool story. But we are going to do the one of Lieutenant Vernon Joseph Baker, World War II, U.S. Army.
Ready, aim,
fire. Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, First Lieutenant Vernon J. Baker distinguished himself by extraordinary heroism in action on the 5th and 6th of April 1945. At 0500 hours on the 5th of April, 1945, Lieutenant Baker advanced at the head of his weapons platoon, along with Company C's three rifle platoons, towards their objective, Castle Aganolfi, we're going to go with that. A German mountain strong point on the high ground just east of the coastal highway and about 2 miles from the 370th Infantry Regiment's line of departure. Moving more rapidly than the rest of the company, Lieutenant Baker and about 25 men reached the south side of a draw some 250 yards from the castle within 2 hours. In reconnoitering a suitable position to set up a machine gun, Lieutenant Baker observed two cylindrical objects pointing out of a slit in the mount at the edge of a hill. Crawling up and under the opening, he stuck his M1 into the slit and emptied the clip, killing the observation post's two occupants. Moving to another position in the same area, Lieutenant Baker stumbled upon a well-camouflaged machine gun nest, the crew of which was eating breakfast. He shot and killed both enemy soldiers. After Captain John F. Runyon, Company C's commander, joined the group, a German soldier appeared from the draw and hurled a grenade which failed to explode. Lieutenant Baker shot the enemy soldier twice as he tried to flee. Lieutenant Baker then went down into the draw alone. There, he blasted open the concealed entrance of another dugout with a hand grenade, shot one German soldier who emerged after the explosion, tossed another grenade into the dugout, and entered firing his submachine gun, killing two more Germans. Gosh, this freaking guy. As Lieutenant Baker climbed back out of the draw, enemy machine gun and mortar fire began to inflict heavy casualties among the group of 25 soldiers, killing or wounding about two-thirds of them. When expected reinforcements did not arrive, Captain Runyon ordered a withdrawal in two groups. Lieutenant Baker volunteered to cover the withdrawal of the first group, which consisted mostly of walking wounded, and to remain to assist in the evacuation of the more seriously wounded. During the second group's withdrawal, Lieutenant Baker, supported by covering fire from one of his platoon members, destroyed two machine gun positions with hand grenades. In all, Lieutenant Baker accounted for 9 dead enemy soldiers, the elimination of 3 machine gun positions, an observation post, and a dugout. On the following night, Lieutenant Baker voluntarily led a battalion advance through the enemy minefields and heavy fire toward the division objective. Lieutenant Baker's fighting spirit and daring leadership were an inspiration to his men and exemplify the highest traditions of military service. And that's pretty friggin' amazing, right? not too shabby. Before we get to the Pentagon and other things, let's do a couple more emails. Jesse, I just wanted to compliment you on your encouragement of military personnel last Wednesday. You have given many pep talks to struggling soldiers, but this last oration was just brilliant and moving and maybe your best work. I would recommend replaying it on one of your repeat shows. You know, when you're on one of your sporadic walkabouts or stuck in an elevator with some crazy Karen. Hey, Jesse, thanks for making me cry listening to you about coming home from Iraq. I'm glad I was in the car by myself. My mom still checks on me and prays for me. And I've heard her and my wife's comments about how I was coming home from Ramadi in 2007, and it still breaks my heart. Thanks for your service in telling us vets not to give up and keep trying to live our best lives. His name is Chris. Look, I'll give it to you straight. I lost another one this weekend. I was not super close to him, so I don't want to act like I was, but another Marine in my company, 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, Alpha Company, I was in Iraq with him, took his life this weekend. And I was trying to do some really, really dark math. It's not the kind of math you want to do, but I'm about 100% sure. I'll call it 90. I'm about 90% sure that I have lost more guys I knew to suicide when they came back home than I did in Iraq itself. At this point in time, so many of them have decided to end it all that I've lost more in peacetime America than I did over there. And I'm never going to stop having this talk with veterans. And if it's something that bothers you, I'm telling you right now, I'm never going to stop. Because I know exactly what you're going through. I have been there. I still have bad dreams. I still have bad moments. Thankfully, only by the grace of God, I came through most of that, and I'm fine now. But if you are not fine, and you're sitting there, and you're miserable, and life sucks and no one understands. I get it. I know exactly what you're talking about. I am just going to remind you again that I'm not saying this to be nice. You know what a jerk I am. I would never be nice to you. You are the most important citizen we have. The most important citizens we have are the people who love this country so much they will fight for it and have fought for it, so they have good perspective. And now they're back home, and you may think you're done. That's the last cool thing you'll ever do. No one understands. I'm just going to disappear into this bottle of pills or bourbon, and then maybe one day I'll kill myself. No. No. We need you. The United States of America needs you. We don't need you in uniform anymore. You're done with that? Look, nobody needs Fat Jesse in uniform anymore. I'm gray. I'm bald. I can't do it anymore. Probably hurt myself. I'm not needed in uniform anymore. You're not needed in uniform anymore. There are many, 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 many ways to serve a country. Raising a family of decent people is a way to serve a country. Being a productive, involved citizen is a way to serve a country. Get your butt down to church. Get involved. It's a way to serve a country. All these things improve your country. All of them do. You are not finished. I promise you, I swear on my life, God will take you home when it's time. You don't need to hit the fast forward button at all. If you're still breathing, you are still breathing for a reason. All right? Keep going. Let's do some government corruption before we get back into more of these emails. Gosh, that got heavy. I didn't mean for that to get heavy. It is,
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
What, Chris? It was maybe 20 boxes. It's a unit of measurement, Chris. I can't believe we don't have Sheila Jackson Lee anymore. She's dead now. That's heavy too. What, Chris? She is. Just telling you. I wonder if she was in any pain before she died. You know Relief Factor? It can take the pain out of your life. Do you have this daily nagging pain? Does your knee hurt every day? Maybe you skip that walk. Maybe your back's bugging you so bad you don't go play golf with your buddies anymore. Do you have a 16-year-old son who shows up at your studio and eats all your important snacks? These are all the pains we go through, and Relief Factor can take most of these pains away. Naturally, 100% drug-free. It's a supplement. You take it every day, and there is nothing to lose because all you buy is a 3-week kit. It's $19.95. Try it for 3 weeks. If that pain's still where it is, don't ever order it again. Almost everyone does for a reason. 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show with me, world famous Oracle Jesse, and American woman, Jewish producer Chris. And we also have producer Corey here as well. Chris, we could mix in the Guess Who's version of that song. I'm not saying it's superior. I think Letty did a good job. I think he did a good job. What? I know they are Canadian, but that's kind of the essence of the song, Chris. You have this effeminate Canadian who's very polite, and there's an American woman, and she loves freedom so much that he can't handle how much she loves freedom. Chris, don't you understand that's the essence of the song? The American woman is too much for his Canadian spirit. What? What? They are Canadian. You're right. You know what? You're right. We'll stick with Lenny Kravitz. I'm off of it. Screw the Guess Who, Chris. We don't celebrate foreigners here on this show. All right. Shut up. Focus. Let's deal with the World War III nuclear winter that the Biden administration is about to rain down on us. This is going to be about the long-range missiles, but I need to back up for a minute and kind of repeat something I had brought up last week. We had a little conversation last week about the military-industrial complex, as it's known, but we're just going to discuss the business of war. What makes war such a big business? So let's set America aside for a moment. This is all the history of the world. Let's go back to Assyrian times. So we're back in the ancient Assyrians, okay? And the Assyrian king decides he wants to march off to war. He's going to go Let's see, Chris is here. He's going to go fight Israel. He's going to go take some Jews as captive. That's what he's going to do. And the Assyrians did that, I should note. But he wants to go do this. You have any idea how much money exchanges hands? Because, look, you're an Assyrian king. First, you have to raise an army. If you already have one, fine, but they're costing you a fortune. You have to spend the money to raise one. You have to go find the men. You have to train the men. This costs. People have to be paid. This costs. Okay, you've got them raised. You got them trained. You have to outfit them. Where are you getting your shields? Shields don't magically fall from the clouds. You need shields. Okay, you got the shields now. You got to make them spears. You got to make them swords. Okay, sounds good. Now they have to eat. How are you going to feed them? Think about how many sheep or cattle or whatever the diet happens to be at the time. It probably wouldn't be cattle-based over there. But you understand how much you would need of that. The vast quantity of stuff you would need. All this is money. You would need advanced planning. You're going to have people in your government plan things out. It becomes a war campaign, even in ancient times, is a gigantic exchange of money. Large piles of money have to switch hands because money is what pays for war. All of it. War has always been extremely expensive. It has always been. The exchange of money. Lots and lots and lots of it. Now, to where we are here. I brought up the little poisonous circle last week. I'll just mention it again briefly here. We have the defense industry in this country. The Raytheons, the Boeings, these types. Again, it's not that you don't need a defense industry, but we have this huge defense industry. Where's their head at? Well, they want to make weapons. They want to develop and make weapons for the United States government. And they want those $50 billion, $100 billion, $200 billion contracts to keep coming. Whoa, what guarantees those things keep coming? War everywhere, forever. Well, we need more of this. We need more of that. We need more of this. War is money for them. Money. Let's go to the other part of the circle. There's three parts of it. The other part of the circle is the Pentagon. Generals and admirals. We don't live in the era anymore where flag officers send their sons to die and themselves to die. Flag officers never hear a shot fired in anger anymore. They're never in danger at all. War is wonderful for them. If you don't have to die, if you don't have to see it and smell it and see people you love die, well, war means promotions. It means adventure. It means promotions. You get to write a book. And then half the time, they leave the Pentagon and go work for one of the defense contractors and get rich. There is no downside to war if you're in the defense industry or you are a general or an admiral. It's all upside. It's all money. It's all power. And then let's go to the third part of that, the politicians. Well, they don't send themselves to die, and they don't send their sons to die. If they do happen to let their son or daughter join, he, of course, will be in the JAG Corps or something where they won't ever get shot at. But for the most part, they're safe, too. What do they get out of it? They get to pretend to be patriots. We will fight forever in Ukraine. And they get huge campaign donations. I brought up FEC.gov last week. It's the campaign website where you can look at the campaign donations campaigns make to others and campaigns receive. Go look up your senator. I don't care who it is, Republican, Democrat. Go look up your senator and tell me how many defense contractor donations you see in there. And why are they getting those donations? Because in exchange for the donation, hey, we are going to get that $100 billion contract, right? War is huge business. Has always been and will always be because it involves the massive exchange of money. Now let's talk about what the Biden administration just did and how scary it is. Next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. It's been an amazing Monday. And do not forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. So that was a little talk about the business of war. It's a huge amount of business. And let me ask you, how many times have you picked up the newspaper or turned on the news at night and you see some horrible, senseless crime where someone got mugged for his watch or $50 in his wallet? People will kill. They will kill for the smallest amount of value if it benefits them monetarily. Now, did you see what dropped this weekend? The Pentagon failed an audit. They can't account for over $800 billion with a B. $800 billion gone. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'm here to tell you my wife is an auditor. That's what she used to do. There's no such thing as $800 billion that goes missing. $800 billion got stolen, got hidden, and maybe they washed away all the evidence of where it went, but you don't, whoopsie, can't find it, $800 billion. A lot of people, a lot of them, in that little circle, politician, defense contractor, admiral, politician, defense contractor, general, a lot of people have gotten very, 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 very rich on America's defense industry. And a lot of people are getting rich as we speak with this war in Ukraine. It is flooding people's bank accounts domestically and internationally. We've heard the stories of the international corruption of Ukrainian generals all of a sudden purchasing yachts. We know how much corruption there must be domestically because Rand Paul simply offered an amendment. Hey, could we at least track the money we're sending over there? And it was rejected. Can you believe something like that was rejected? They said, nope, we can't. Not rejected. No, not acceptable. We don't want to track anything. Now, I have three different headlines. Report: Pentagon officials plot against Trump's America First agenda. Headline: U.S. permission to fire missiles on Russia. Headline: Russia vows appropriate response if Ukraine uses long-range missiles.
we have a new Trump administration coming into power. We are 2 months away from having an actual regime change. Donald Trump has said repeatedly over and over and over again, this war needs to end and it will end. And I heard him speak about this personally when I went to see Tucker at that event he did over in Phoenix. And Trump very correctly was lamenting the mass slaughter of Ukrainian and Russian young men by the hundreds of thousands they are dying over there. But the demons who run the United States government don't want that to stop, you see. And it's more than not wanting it to stop. They are highly, highly invested, financially invested, in keeping that going forever. There's no negative if you're not the one dying. None whatsoever. Now, that brings us to the decision about the missiles. Remember this. Chris, dig this up if you can find it. Joe Biden was on camera right when Ukraine started. Joe Biden, old and useless and mean and corrupt as he is, Joe Biden was getting pressed by the press. I didn't do that on purpose. It just worked out really well. He was getting pressed by the press on why he wasn't giving Ukraine more things, such as long-range missiles they can fire inside of Russia. He was pressed about it over and over and over again. And Biden flat out told the media. He said, you guys understand what you're talking about? You're talking about World War III. That's what you're talking about if I do this. What did he mean by that? Why would he say that? Remember, proxy wars are fought as proxy wars for a reason. Because huge powers understand that if they clash with each other, it can end civilizations. We're talking about civilization destruction, complete wipeout. So instead, you have a big power with a vested interest here and a big power with a vested interest there. Then instead, you'll just fight a proxy war. Hey, we'll just kind of, we'll give you guys some guns and the other big guy's going to give his guys some guns and you fight it out. Russia's been fighting it directly. We've been fighting a proxy war in Ukraine. Everyone knows we're handing them weapons and munitions since we announce it like morons all the time, but always with the understanding you don't take it too far. Why don't you take it too far? Because as Joe Biden says here, this is what can happen.
The idea that we're going to send in offensive equipment and have planes and tanks and trains going in with American pilots and American crews, just understand and don't kid yourself, no matter what you all say, that's called World War III. Okay? Let's get it straight here, guys.
Today, I'm announcing that the United States...
You can drop that. It doesn't matter. Even an old decrepit idiot like Joe Biden knows if you do this, you are crossing lines that can't be uncrossed. Today, the Biden administration announced, oh, go ahead, guys. Here's some long-range missiles. Fire them into Russia. There's not a second way that I can tell. I've been racking my brains about it all day. There's not a second way to look at this, you see. The Biden administration is doing everything it can to make sure war doesn't end. Wrap your mind around how soulless and evil you have to be bending over backwards to make sure a war doesn't end. Everyone wants war to end, right? Or everyone should want war to end? War is horrible. But the people who lead the defense industry, our government, and the Pentagon are so highly invested in this, they will watch hundreds of thousands of people die and they won't be emotionally moved in the tiniest bit. They'll do everything they can to ensure it gets worse and worse and worse to the point of risking nuclear war. Of course, Russia is going to respond in some way that is absolutely terrible. What would we do if we went to war with Mexico and Russia started handing them hypersonic missiles to fire at LA and New York City? What would we do? Exactly. You have no choice. Once the weapons start landing inside your borders, well, now you have to treat it as if you're being invaded by a foreign power. And the only reason they'd be doing it now is to try to handcuff Donald Trump and the incoming administration who wants this thing to end. That is how sick and evil these people are who run these industries. And that brings me to this, a thought I had. You know, Elon Musk and Vivek, they've been very publicly talking about this Department of Government Efficiency and how they're going to clean things up. And they've been speaking loudly about this audit the Pentagon failed and how we have to clean this up and we have to fix it. And I applaud both of them for whatever efforts they're going to put into this. It is the right thing to do. It has me unreasonably excited. I am excited. I will also say this. However much personal security Vivek and Elon have, it is not enough. Elon Musk is famously really, really, really rabid about his personal security. From what I understand, it's top-notch. Top-notch. As good as it can possibly get, it better be. Because if you start taking away an $800 billion paycheck from industries like this, I hope you are ready. I'll tell you that. And speaking of Elon and Vivek, I have a little prediction. Then we'll do some emails, and then we'll get to McConnell and the appointments and things. Before we do that, let's talk about chalk. Let's talk about getting ready for life. Not World War III, although some testosterone won't hurt if we go into World War III. You know, we're going to need a lot of that. And being as how we've lost 50% of our testosterone in 50 years, I'd say we should probably do something about it. Guys, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, you probably have low testosterone. Not because you're low testosterone naturally, because we drink estrogen. It's in the friggin' water. It's awful. Try a male vitality stack from Chalk. Natural herbal supplements. And try it while they're running a Black Friday special, which they're doing the entire month of November. When you use the code Jesse, you unlock a massive discount on subscriptions. And Chalk will add a $50 bonus product to your first delivery. CHOQ.com. Get your T levels up. You will feel good. You will thank me. Everyone else does. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, on Spotify, on iTunes. Okay, let's. I have a little prediction here. The Department of Government Efficiency, this Elon Musk and Vivek thing. Vivek, he's out there saying all the right things and sounds really good. And like I said, you know my thoughts on him, but I'm happy he's there. I'm happy he's doing it.
You're closing down departments.
We expect mass reductions. We expect certain agencies to be deleted outright. We expect mass reductions in force in areas of the federal government that are bloated. We expect massive cuts among federal contractors and others who are overbilling the federal government. So, yes, we expect all of the above. And I think people will be surprised by, I think, how quickly we're able to move with some of those changes, given the legal backdrop the Supreme Court has given.
Sounds great to me. Yes, I'm all about it. That sounds...
You know, freedom is not free.
Daggone right. Yes, sounds good. I'm going to make a prediction you're probably not going to love, and I hope I'm wrong. Chris, go ahead and write this one down. You know, I'm always hesitant with everybody. I was hesitant from the very beginning with Elon, but I've really, really been so impressed by the risks he has taken personally, financially, to stand against this evil regime and go all in to try to stop it. I'm very, very impressed. I certainly would not call myself a fan because I'm not really fans of other men, but I'm very impressed, extremely impressed. I'm glad he's on our team. I'm glad he and Vivek are in there to cut government and cut agencies and eliminate bureaucracies and things like that. I don't know how long we're going to have Elon. This is what I mean. A guy like Elon Musk, by his nature and by necessity, needs control. He just is one of those guys. And richest guy in the world, has all these companies and runs them with ruthless efficiency. It wasn't just Twitter, which is now X.
every place he's gone. You're fired, you're hired, you're promoted, this and that. You go there, you do this, we're doing this. Things get done quickly, and they get done the way Elon Musk wants them to get. This effort by Elon and Vivek, which is amazing, and it's exactly what we need. I do not think it is going to go as fast and smooth as everyone seems to think it's going to go. Because the system, as I said, they're not running for the hills. They haven't all retreated. They're battening down the hatches to protect. Well, I just mentioned the Ukraine scam, our military DOD scam. Expand that to the entire federal government. They are going to be fought. Any effort to eliminate these agencies, eliminate these jobs, is going to be fought tooth and nail by the system. The communists have spent decades filling up this government with evil demons to try to ensure their agenda will essentially be written into law forever. They are going to have judges blocking things. This is going to block them. This lawsuit, that lawsuit. And my prediction is Elon Musk is not going to last that long. Call it 6 months to a year. And this is not a rip on Elon at all. I'm so grateful. If he left tomorrow, I'd be grateful. I think he's going to get frustrated with the pace, frustrated with the slump, with the swamp, possibly even bored because things aren't moving the way he wants them to move. What do you mean this? I just fired these 200 people. Well, Elon, you have to understand the federal judge and the Fifth Circuit already stepped in to study. I bet you Elon is going to burn out on this faster than you or I want him to. Just a prediction. Just a guess. Vivek will not. Remember, Vivek is in this to be president in 2028. Vivek is going to ride with this bad boy until they close down the department. Vivek will be there. My prediction, one I very much hope I am wrong about, my prediction is we are not going to have Elon for that much longer. And if we don't, glad we had him while we had him. And it's not that I think he's going to leave and become our arch nemesis or something like that. That's not what I'm saying. I think a guy like that is going to frustrate very, very, very quickly with how quickly the system digs in and pushes back. We have all, well, I shouldn't say we have all, I'm not going to put words in your mouth. I've already caught myself daydreaming about, wait a minute, we're really going to get rid of 2 million government employees and entire departments? Yeah, I'm just sitting there cheering and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be so great. Trump, I can't believe it's going to be Donald Trump who's going to finally reduce the size of the government and maybe we'll get some budget cuts. And I've let my mind go there. And maybe you've already let your mind go there, but I know I definitely have. And don't get me wrong, I think they will. I think they'll make a lot of cuts. I think they'll do a bunch of good. I think I have probably gotten too far ahead of myself and how quick and easy this is going to be. We act as if Vivek and Elon are just going to walk in and snap their fingers and Trump will be behind them. And, you're fired and you're fired and you're fired and woo, the FBI's gone and everything's good. If it was that easy, someone else probably would have tried it too. It just ain't really that easy. Dear Michael Vick of the Hamster World, I got a new job recently. I've been doing more long drives. Name your top three gas station snacks for me to mow down. His name is Bradley. First, greatest gas station snack ever. Go get the nacho trays. There's going to be a nacho bar there. Ignore the garbage nacho chips. Don't rub your face, Chris. And go get some hot Cheetos, flaming hot Cheetos. Pour them in the nacho cheese tray and squirt some of that high-end gas station nacho cheese on it. Gas station nacho cheese with Flamin' Hot Cheetos is as good as it gets. Second, if you're on a long drive, Body Armor. I've really grown to love these Body Armor things. They're like Gatorade, only someone told me once they're healthier, and you know how conscious I am about my health, so you can wash down your Flamin' Hot Cheetos with nacho cheese with a Body Armor. That's one. Or that's two. Three, I would normally say a Dorito or something like that. But the problem is for a drive, the cheese gets all over your fingers and then it's all over the steering wheel. The gas station taquitos or roll-ups, every gas station, Chris knows what I'm talking about now, that you buy them and they have like chicken and cheese and it's just this little roll-up. And it fits in the wrapper. You can drive and Kamala the thing down while you're driving and have clean hands. Top three gas station snacks, nailed it. Now let's talk about Mitch McConnell and the resistance to the appointments and some illegal immigration talk. Next.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.